Hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
I'm a good member who made a mistake, and I'm apologizing, and I'm asking for forgiveness. It's a terrible mistake, and I'll never do it again.
Fighting for Idaho.
You have to know what you have, how you're going to spend it, and until you can use what you have effectively, the rest of it doesn't matter.
You know, you've harped on this $600,000 quite a bit. Could you just let it go?
You can't just throw money at a problem and hope that it gets better.
Fighting for you.
You know, it's not about Kevin Miller, Kevin Kip, Kevin Miller, Kevin Miller. You know, it's about the issues. It's about the people. And it really is one remarkable show. I can't thank you enough.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning. On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO, taking your thoughts, your views on the big issue of the day.
It's inevitable that the rest of the country will follow suit, but nobody would think Idaho would come in, well, I think is number 19. So it's pretty exciting.
Idaho's law defining marriage between a man and a woman has been shot down by a federal judge. Same-sex ceremonies are not happening yet, but could happen Friday unless there is a stay on the injunction function. What's your function? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. The Attorney General will be joining us coming up, but we're joined now by Judge Richard Greenwood from the Ada County Courthouse, who's here to talk a little bit about this and other issues. Your Honor, good to have you with us.
Good morning, Kevin. Glad to be here.
Well, what do you make of this decision?
Well, it's kind of interesting that it's coming out now, just before the upcoming election. It is in federal court, not in state court. My general view, philosophically, is that judges need to be careful when they start making sweeping social changes. I understand what Judge Dale is saying, that we have to guard the minority against the tyranny of the majority, but that's a little bit different than upsetting a tradition that's been with us since long before we were a nation.
Well, we take a look at the taking Judge Dale out of it, Justice Dale out of it, the legal process, how does this play out?
Well, it's in federal court, which is, of course, a separate legal system that, from here, I see it obviously headed to the Ninth Circuit. This is the kind of decision that I would think ordinarily would result in a stay, but I don't know. There have been cases where state statutes have been overturned in the federal courts, and they have declined. The federal judges have declined to stay them pending appeal. I just know from listening to the news that the governor has filed a motion preemptively to issue a stay pending full hearing, but this is undoubtedly headed to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's coming from all over the country right now. I don't know what I've lost track of how many courts have now weighed in on
seven this. States, I believe.
Seven states. So you're more up on this than I.
Well, it's an orchestrated campaign, in my opinion, sir, where we have at one time we had states, and that we could say that was orchestrated, that had constitutional amendments. Now we see the reverse happening. I don't know Judge Greenwood, you can answer this, but what did the Supreme Court ruling actually do?
In which case? You're talking about the DOMA case?
Right. Prop 8. Prop 8, and I guess DOMA was DOMA was with that, but the Defense of Marriage Act, but it was Prop 8, I guess, yeah, DOMA, and then the other one, yes, Defense of Marriage Act.
Well, right. And I will confess that this is not an issue that has come up in my courtroom. I haven't looked at it. That case was decided some time ago, and I'm a little hesitant to comment on a case I haven't read. I guess had I seen this coming, I might have pulled that case out and looked at it, but I'm a little hesitant to speak off the top of my head on a legal issue for fear I might get it nuanced wrong, I guess. So.
Sure. So what would you like to talk about?
Well, one of the things that is near and dear to my heart is Ada County Drug Court.
Right.
I preside over one of the two drug courts in Ada County. We have other specialty courts. I call it turning criminals into taxpayers. We take folks who have felony criminal problems, facing felony criminal record charges, sometimes as their first arrest, sometimes on probation violation for other crimes. And we get them dried out, we sober them up, and that's just the start. From there, we put them into class and turn them into taxpaying citizens, which I think is a noble endeavor. Along the way, we save the taxpayers a boatload of money. So that's one issue. Another one is, of course, I'm facing my own contested race. I am sitting district judge, and many people are not aware that there are nonpartisan judicial races in this state. All of the district judges who were not appointed within the last year are up for re-election. A few of the races are contested. Mine happens to be one of them. I'm facing an opponent, a fellow named Les Bach, who was the former Senate Minority Leader, who's come out of retirement, I guess. I'm not sure. He was described himself in the paper at one time as retired or in the... In any event, he's decided he wants to be a judge, I guess. And he initially filed for Judge Wetherill's open seat. There are two contested judicial races at the local level this year.
Sure.
So, in any event, so now I am in a race against the former Democratic Minority Leader of the Idaho Senate.
And in fairness, we have reached out to him as well, and we will give him the same opportunity to come on here to make his case. Judge, anything else that you'd like to share with us today?
Well... other than it's a beautiful day out there today, the kind of day where we ought to be fishing or golfing, I suppose, but instead we'll be hard at work.
Exactly. Well, we'd love to have you back sometime to talk a little bit about the drug court. So,
well, I'd be glad to do that at any time because there is a lot of information about it that I like to share with the public because it's, well, we just one quick brief factoid. When people come into drug court, about a third of them have jobs. When they leave drug court, 95% of them have jobs and are working full-time. The ones that aren't working full-time are full-time students, or their mother's home with a newborn drug-free baby, or they're folks on disability and they're doing community service, because when they get done with drug court, even if they're unable to work because of a disability, they still contribute to the community in ways that they're able. So, yes, I'd love to come back and discuss it in more depth with you sometime, Kevin.
Yeah, drugs are a problem.
Yes,
drugs
they are.
Drugs are a problem. And you're on the front lines.
That's where we are. I think that's one of the reasons that I did get the endorsement in my upcoming election from both of the major law enforcement organizations in the Magic Valley, the International Brotherhood of Police Officers, which is a Boise Police Department organization, and the Treasure Valley Fraternal Order of the Police. I've been endorsed by both of those organizations in my reelection. And law enforcement is a very strong supporter of drug courts.
Well, Judge, take care of yourself. We're going to go back to the gaze.
All right. Are you done with me this morning?
Yep.
Is that what you're telling me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity you've been on here, Kevin, and have fun with that this morning.
Oh, yes. We'll have fun with the gays. We'll have a gay old time.
Ah, you're a punster, I can tell.
I am. All right.
Take care, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Bye-bye.
We appreciate that. That's our friend Judge Greenwood with us, Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO.
It was a good day. I've been with Andrew for 16 years. We've wanted to get married. We have a beautiful 4-year-old boy together, and to be part of this is amazing, and I'm overwhelmed.
She's overwhelmed, are you? By the way, from our friend, I love this, to the mill from the Rouser, subject the answers. Yes, Idaho's taking the overturn of Idaho's gay marriage ban to the Supreme Court is a waste of money. Why? Because the same sex is being appealed to the Supreme Court by several other states. Idaho's case won't make any difference in the final ruling, and the expense to Idaho is especially critical in an underfunded state. And yes, the vote taken eight long years ago is no longer valid. If people voted today on the same issue, it would not pass. The world turns just as your stomach does. You know, why do you have to make it personal, Boise Rabble Rouser? And quite frankly, who else gives you the time that I give you, that we give you here? It's not your friends wherever. You know, that's the thing. There should be some loyalty here, Boise Rabble Rouser. I even read your puns and try and do it in an entertaining way. Dale's decision to overturn a ban on gay marriage is the 12th since Summers' U.S. Supreme Court decision invalidating the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. Others were in Utah, Ohio, blah, blah, blah. And it goes on and on. Well, of course, because it is an orchestrated, agenda-driven campaign by the left to redefine America, Boise rabble-rouser. And I will tell you, if the vote were taken today in Idaho, I believe 70% of the people, I think 70% of the people would, in fact, vote for marriage between a man and a woman. Simple facts. We go to Steve in Nampa at 580KIDO. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to say this is just, it's disgusting, and it's history repeating itself. You know, the same things happened in other states, namely California, where the voters overwhelmingly voted to keep the definition of marriage between a man and a woman. It was a two-thirds vote in favor both times, and both times activist judges just turned it over, costing the taxpayers millions and millions of dollars to get these things, you know, these measures on the ballots. And, you know, quite frankly, I hate to say this, but I think it's just a sea change in our society. I think this is eventually going to be a battle we're going to lose. I hope we continue to fight, and I hope we do spend money to fight it. But, you know, what I see happening around the country, I have friends that live all over the country, family all over the country. We all call these crazies libtards because they're mentally libtardated in our opinion. And the libtards, they move to a place, they infest it like vermin, they change it, and then they destroy it, and then they move on and do it to the next place. Same thing happened in Colorado, and it's happening all around, and now it's happening in Idaho. So I don't know. What's your take?
I think they're redefining society itself. I think the press is in cahoots with them, and there will be not one person, radio, television, in the Treasure Valley in America that will say that, because they'll go, well, I don't care. I don't want to be offensive. I don't want to get in trouble.
Well, and I agree that the press is really the fifth column here, really, really destroying our country. What can I say? It's really sad, isn't it?
It is, and the press is in bed with them.
Yep.
I mean, look at all the coverage. Look at the coverage in our local media today, Steve. Did they talk to one conservative? Did they talk to one person that said, we support the governor, the attorney general, and we want to fight this? No. What did they get? Let's go live to the state house where everybody's going to get married. It's raining men. Hallelujah. Where's the other side of the story?
There isn't.
So they're in bed.
Well, I don't know what we can do. I don't know. Where do we take the fight? What do? We teach our kids. We try and live good, upstanding lives. So what do?
You know, there was somebody on the radio the other day, a local slappy, that said when Michael Sam was giving the man kiss, that he would tell his kid that's how two people love each other. And I'm going, what? Are you living in Vermont?
Yeah. I'm saddened. I really am.
Steve, I hate to tell you this, but once the government goes, then it's the churches. Then it's the churches. That's the last stand right there.
Well, and then it'll be legal to marry your dog or your horse or to marry an underage kid. You know, where does it stop?
You bring up a good point. A man wants to marry his computer in Florida, and polygamy is back in Utah. You heard it here first. We're just full of good news today, Steve. Thank you for the call. All right, we appreciate it. 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Sharing this bit with you while I can.
It was a good day.
Nope, not that one.
Ain't no plans with a man. It's the 80s and I'm down with the ladies.
Oh, how I miss the 80s. It's been replaced by this guy.
It ain't the 80s. We ain't down with the ladies. It's 2010. We're down with Kevin Miller and the men.
How exciting. We go to Jeff in Meridian at 580KIDO. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Kevin. I just wanted to point out, and I know it's been on the air a lot, but at what point does the slippery slope stop? At what point, if I say I want to marry a mailbox, what right do you have to tell me I can't do that? At what point does a minor, if I have a 12-year-old daughter, as they do in some countries, and I'm her legal guardian, I said it's okay for her to marry you, and I sign her away, who are you to tell me? What is society to tell me? Why can't I have four wives? If it's consenting adults and it's done legally, When does the slope stop?
I thought that last night as I'm hearing everybody trying to take advantage of this great ruling. And here's the thing. Where's the other side of the story, local media? Where's the other side of the story, national media? Oh, they're just evil, mean people. Really? Evil, mean people that work, that go to church, that raise families? That used to be the backbone of America.
I think because I've already heard nationally and on the Internet that there are some polygamists that are applauding this because they'll be next. Mark my words, that will be the next step.
Oh, yeah. No, I told it. It's already happening in Utah where, thanks to NBC television, we have people, we have my sister wives, or I married five wives, and they have enough, well, I can't say what I want to say, but they have enough gumption to actually take this to court, and you have a dumb judge agreeing.
That's what I said. You know, it's a slippery slope. If I want to marry a carburetor in an old car, who are you to tell me no? And, you know, it's a sad state. I mean, it's certainly, I'm almost 50, but this is not the country I grew up in, and I really don't recognize it anymore. I really don't recognize it. You know, they want transvestites now in the military, and I don't know. It's sad.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin.
580-5436, 580-KIDO.
It's inevitable that the rest of the country will follow suit. But nobody would think Idaho would come in, well, I think it's number 19. So it's pretty exciting.
There you heard it. It's inevitable. Your thoughts. Remember, Lawrence Wasden will join us coming up as well. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Do want to remind you, coming up, your chance to win $1,000 by listening to the Kevin Miller Show today. Right here at 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Must hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Federal judge ruled Idaho's ban on same-sex marriage unconstitutional.
It is a good day. I've been with Andrew for 16 years. We've wanted to get married.
The first person I called was my mom, and she said, I'm so proud of you, Abby.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ramai. You had to go with that song. I need to double up on the blood pressure. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Phone calls here at 580-5436. Coming up next, the Attorney General Lawrence Wasden will join us. He's talking about his campaign to be reelected. In addition to that, we will talk to him about last night's ruling and where do we go from here. And it will be a very intense, exclusive interview. And we thank the Attorney General for making himself available. Look, you faced the courts. This is, I've got the physique of a bell pepper, so it'll be great. Quickly to Kathy in Murphy at 580-KIDO. Good morning, ma'am.
Hello, Kevin. I agree with you about the churches and the government, but you had one thing backwards. If the churches hadn't sold out first to this wishy-washy apostate Joel Osteen feel-good your best life now philosophy and selling their souls for their 501c3 tax status exemption, probably wouldn't have gone this far.
Go
the churches, so goes the government, and the churches are in bed with the government because the government set up their clergy response teams and they send letters out to the pastors and they say, if you want to keep your status, we have this little report we'd like you to fill out. Which one of your parishioners is most likely pro-Second Amendment? Who do you think is storing food? Who do you think is anti-government? And my brother is a pastor in Alabama, and they've been having these go around down there. And the churches, they want to protect their new buildings. And
sure, they want to get into the building business. Where in Alabama?
My brother lives in, oh, gosh. I think it's Elmore now. They just moved.
Elmore County. Thank you for the call, Kathy and Murphy. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
A federal judge ruled Idaho's ban on same-sex marriage unconstitutional. Because I'm happy.
kind of a good day. I've been with Andrew for 16 years. We've wanted to get married. We have a beautiful four-year-old boy together, and to be part of this is amazing, and I'm overwhelmed.
I know the first person I called was my mom, and she said, I'm so proud of you, Abby.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. We're joined now by the Attorney General of the great state of Idaho, Lawrence Wasdin, with us. Mr. Wasdin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for allowing me to be here.
Your thoughts on what happened and, your thoughts on what happened with the judge's ruling last night, sir.
Well, not totally unexpected. We've taken the night to try and analyze the case. Of course, it's 57 pages long. It takes a little while to do that. The effect of this order is not going to occur until Friday morning. We will be filing a motion for stay and also pursuing an appeal. So that's kind of where we're headed. And in terms of what we expect, we're going to just continue to pursue this, as is my duty as the Attorney General, to uphold the Constitution and defend the Constitution in court. And that's what we're going to do.
Are you surprised by the amount of federal challenges that we've seen, not only in Idaho, but in other states, in response to these legally, constitutionally passed amendments?
Actually, if you think back for a minute or two, at the same time the court was the U.S. Supreme Court was considering the Windsor case, the DOMA case, there was also the case Proposition 8 that was in front of the United States Supreme Court. And one of the things that happened in that case was that the California Attorney General decided not to defend the state's constitution. Had the California Attorney General done that job, and that is actually fulfilled the oath of defending their state constitution, the court would have been able to answer that question. Instead, what the court said is no one has standing, therefore essentially punting the case. That's why it's really important that as the Attorney General, you stand up. Whether you agree personally or disagree personally isn't the issue. The issue is I have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution. I'm obligated to defend it, and that's what I will do. And so that's my position. I disagree with my colleagues on that point.
As a lawyer, a legal scholar, as the Attorney General, historically, did you find it fascinating that both in DOMA, where the administration didn't defend it, and in Prop 8, the Attorney General didn't defend it? It doesn't matter if you agree with the law. Your duty is to defend the law.
That was quite startling to me. And, in fact, I was present about a month or so ago in D.C. at a meeting with the National Association of Attorneys General. And Eric Holder came, and he said on this point, he said, State Attorney General, if you don't like your Constitution, you can just ignore it. And I reject that notion. It is entirely inconsistent with what's known as the rule of law. That is, we're all bound by the same laws. I'm obligated to uphold that. The people have made this decision. It doesn't matter whether it's my policy choice or not. I'm obligated to uphold it, and that's precisely what I'm going to do.
That's a dangerous precedent when you have the U.S. Attorney General saying that if you don't agree with the law and you're the Attorney General, you don't have to defend it. You can punt. Back to your case here that happened yesterday concerning the Idaho's constitutional amendment defining marriage between a man and a woman. If the Supreme Court had done its job, this case would be decided one way or the other.
Exactly. That was my point.
Right.
Is that had the Attorney General of California done the job that they were called on to do, that they took an oath to do, the court would have answered that question directly, and we would have had an answer. One way or the other, we would have had an answer.
What's your make on the 14th Amendment argument? Because, and again, you delve in this. Most of us watch Law and Order and a little Nancy Grace here and there, and that's our legal training. So we're grateful that we have you here to explain the 14th Amendment out, because that seems to be what the federal judges and the plaintiffs are arguing and was predicted when you had the Prop 8 and the DOMA case.
It really kind of fits in this way, and there's the 10th Amendment says that there are certain powers that are granted to the federal government. Now, I, for lack of a better term, I call that the federal bucket. It also then says that there are certain powers that are denied to the states, and then says the other powers are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And that I call the state bucket, state and people bucket. So the real question here is, which bucket does this fit into? And with regard to the Windsor case, it said essentially that this is an area traditionally where the states have power to define what marriage is. So the question being posed now is, does this fall clearly in that state bucket, or does it bleed over into the federal bucket, and that's where the 14th Amendment comes in and the concept of equal protection and due process. And the court has said, yes, the states can define, except that you can't offend equal protection and due process. That's where that rub comes to. And the question then is, what's the level of scrutiny that is applied under equal protection? The Ninth Circuit has said a heightened level of scrutiny. So that's the kind of the arena in which we then operate.
Were you surprised at the judge's decision saying that Idaho law discriminates financially, emotionally, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, you are behind this. You've argued it. You're going to continue to fight for it. Idaho's marriage law. Were you surprised at her decision, the wording of it?
I don't know that we are ever really surprised a great deal by that. I mean, that was sort of within the realm of possibilities. That's the kind of thing you take, you read, you review, you study, and you try and make sure that your next actions fit within the mold that is then created. And that's part of how you decide how you appeal and how you make a motion for stay, which is what we're in the process of doing. So you just kind of take those punches, you roll with them, and you move forward.
If there was a silver lining, is that the judge decided to give you till Friday to avoid what happened in Utah.
Yes, and I think very respectful of the judge in that regard. And, in fact, you recall in some of those cases, the district court denied the motion for stay. It was denied at the circuit level. And then the United States Supreme Court unanimously said, no, you do need to stay. It's a special respect in a dual sovereign system that the federal government, the federal court, should have for the state. The people in their elective processes amended their constitution, and there should be some measure of respect. Ultimately, however, the United States Supreme Court is going to have to answer this question.
The Attorney General with us, Lawrence Wasdin, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's talk about the campaign. Your thoughts, your views, why should you be reelected?
There are five things that I started out to do: firm and fair criminal prosecution, to protect Idaho's water and sovereignty, to protect Idaho consumers from fraud, to ensure that with the use of endowment lands that we obtain the maximum long-term financial return as required by the Constitution, and to ensure justice for all Idahoans. And that's what I've done. There's some unfinished business. So would like to continue working on the same-sex marriage case, as we're doing currently. Also to continue to protect children from internet predators, and also with the newly passed what we call the Rice Bill, which was it enlarges the powers of the Attorney General to investigate elected county officials upon complaint. And so that's an area where we would like to continue to do some work.
Lawrence Wasdin with us here. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. There's been a lot of charges, countercharges. What do you say to your critics that say it's time for a change? You're answering this on the trail. You've answered it in debates. You're answering it here. Why stay the course? And I know you've just answered that. You're achieving it. You know, we asked the governor. Governor, three terms. Well, it were tough financial times. I want to make it to the next dawn, if you will. Why for you, sir?
Well, in Idaho, we don't have statutory term limits. We actually call it elections, and so the people have a right to choose. I think having an opportunity to do some good things and have the voters say yes, continue doing that, is a healthy thing for our system. Allowing the voters the ability to make that choice, and I'm putting myself out there and saying, hey, I'm here. The Republican Party platform says we don't believe in term limits, and if we don't, then here I am, and I'm offering myself to continue my service with the people of this state.
What was it like to be involved in the health exchange lawsuit, to be the first to file?
Well, you know, we had a number of meetings with attorneys general prior, as that bill was kind of going through and in the midnight hours and all that sort of thing. So we were very prepared when the president put his signature on that bill. We filed immediately, and we filed simultaneously in Florida, in a district court in Florida. We chose not to have it in the Ninth Circuit, among other things.
Yes.
But
now your appeal is going to the Ninth Circuit, right?
The appeal on the same-sex marriage case will,
yeah.
but that's because we're in the Ninth Circuit. But
yes.
But in the Affordable Care Act case, we wanted to be outside the Ninth Circuit, among other things. Went to Florida and pursued that case all the way to the United States Supreme Court. In fact, I have a card in my possession. It's card number 13 that was issued to me, when I went to the lawyer's lounge to listen live to the arguments in front of the United States Supreme Court. When the courtroom gets filled, if you're a member of the U.S. Supreme Court bar, you can go to the lawyer's lounge, and then they give you a card, and if enough people leave the courtroom, then you get to go into the courtroom and listen.
Right.
But I was there live to listen in the lawyer's lounge, and I save that as sort of a historical memento.
Is that a video feed?
It's not a video feed.
Right,
it's an audio feed.
Right. Yeah,
so it's radio, you know?
Right. They're very particular about that at the Supreme Court. So even the lawyer's lounge doesn't have a video feed.
No. No, it's just audio.
So we have that decision. I'm sure you disagreed with their decision on the health exchange, the Health Act.
Yes. It's not just the exchange, but it's the Affordable Care Act. It's the entire what we call Obamacare. And I do disagree with the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Out of one side of his mouth, he says, well, this is not a tax for purposes of the Tax Anti-Injunction Act. In the very same breath, however, he says, but this is a tax. And the point that we were making is that Congress had said, and the President had said, this is an exercise of Commerce Clause power. And we said, you can't, under the Commerce Clause, compel people to participate in commerce. And the court ultimately agreed with us. A majority of the court said, you are right. This would not be a proper exercise of Commerce Clause power. The Chief Justice went on to say, well, but this is an exercise of taxing clause power, which is contrary to the very things that Congress itself had said. So I disagree with the Chief Justice. However, the Chief Justice has a title. His title is Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. And I have a title. Mine is Idaho Attorney General, and his trumps mine when it comes to pronouncing what the law is.
Well, maybe in Washington. I don't know about Idaho. I guess. 580-KIDO, Lawrence Wasden with us, the Attorney General, as we continue on. Phone numbers here, 580-5436, final moments. Back to this issue, how is this going to play out? It'll go to the, my words, not yours, sir, the progressive liberal Ninth Circuit. What do you expect it out of there? And, can we avoid what happened in Utah?
Well, we'll just have to see what the Ninth Circuit does. I agree with you that the Ninth Circuit has a more liberal bent, that it is reversed more often than any other circuit in the country. We'll just have to see what happens. It depends on the panel. I think that certain members of the Ninth Circuit have already spoken on this issue, so we kind of know what to expect. Ultimately, the United States Supreme Court's going to have to answer this question.
If they rule not in the favor of Idaho, can you get another stay until it goes to the Supreme Court? I think Utah is doing that or trying to do that.
Yeah, that's the process. I can't predict at this point what will happen.
Right.
But certainly that's the process we would use.
Your thoughts as a member of the bar on the Supreme Court, a lot of decisions 5-4 historically. How do you think this court will be remembered, and that once a new member comes in, it will, regardless of who it is, it'll radically change the direction?
It has the potential to change the direction, depending on the person. You've got kind of a 4-4 with a one floater, and that floater isn't always the same person.
Could be the chief sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yes.
And so it really depends on the timing of replacements, and it will have a dynamic impact on the character of the court. So we'll just have to watch and see. That's how the game gets played. We'll see what happens.
We have a question from Jim. Your thoughts on the Second Amendment.
Excellent. And I'd really love the opportunity to clarify that, because in my race, I'm the only candidate that has been endorsed by the NRA. There's a lot of talk out there. 8 years ago, someone in my office mistakenly put us on a brief in a case called Patterson. It was a companion case to Heller. And we were on the wrong side. I found out about that and then immediately talked to my folks and said, get us off that brief. And within 48 hours, we were removed from that brief. So there's the claim, that I don't believe that the Second Amendment is an individual right. That's just totally untrue. I supported Heller in the United States Supreme Court. In fact, I have had a conversation with Mr. Heller.
And Heller's making the rounds.
He is making the rounds. I had a conversation with him last night. And I have consistently supported the Second Amendment as an individual right, the NRA, McDonald versus City of Chicago, and also we were in an amicus effort in NRA versus the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. I have consistently done that. I have been I have an A rating with the NRA, and I am the only candidate in this race that has been endorsed by the NRA. In fact, I was invited a couple of weeks ago to attend the NRA Charlton Heston dinner. In order to be at the Charlton Heston dinner, you have to contribute $1 million to the NRA. And I didn't contribute $1 million.
That was the next question.
Yeah, no. But they invited me to come and to interact with their members, which I did. I received a notice from the a thank you note from the president of the NRA. In fact, yesterday, a personally written note thanking me for being there and supporting them. So I am fully in support of the Second Amendment as an individual right. And you can look on my website. I provide all the documents that say, here's what happened, here's what we did to correct it. And so there you go.
Well, we appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to 580KIDL. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Candy Dale really has her head up her backside. It's not the government's place to regulate any kind of marriage. It is the gay community that is anti-family.
I want to know what you're thinking.
Giving Idaho a reason to get out of bed. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, Kevin Miller with you here. Coming up, your reaction to last night's ruling redefining marriage in the state of Idaho. We do want to thank Lawrence Wasden for joining us. Allegedly, Phil Hardy will be here to talk politics, but we will continue to focus on the same-sex slash gay marriage ruling. And we will take pro-life and Terry's calls coming up next hour. We apologize for running out of time. Let's get you to work. Well, how about that? Allegedly, not allegedly, Phil Hardy's in the lobby. How exciting. The return of the ubiquitous and always relevant Phil Hardy. Much more of your thoughts, your views on the gay marriage situation, what it means for Governor Otter, what it means for the Attorney General, what it means as the primary approaches. Looking forward to an hour of interaction with you. Plus, we will have a gentleman from the ACLU who will join us to give us the other side of the fence. How exciting for all of you listening. That and more coming up next. Keep it here. Stay informed. Kevin Miller.
Serving Meridian.